Birkat Kohanim, the mitzvah by which the Kohanim bless Am Yisrael, is a mitzvah that many of us are extremely familiar with, particularly those who live in Eretz Yisrael, where this mitzvah is performed every single day, day in and day out, during the heart of Tefillah. It almost has become, one could say, commonplace for the shuls in Eretz Yisrael. But having said that, there are a number of outstanding characteristics with regards to this mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim that are extremely vital and important for us to focus in on. The Torah in Perek Vav, Psukim Chaf Bet through Chaf Zayin, says as follows: Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber El Aharon Veel Banav Leimor, Kol Tevarechu Et Bnei Yisrael Amor Lahem. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to tell Aaron and his children, this is how you should bless the Jewish people. Say to them the famous words that all of us are familiar with: Yivarechcha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'ichuneka, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And these brachot, specifics, are followed by the following pasuk: V'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarachem. Place my name, kiviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, upon the Jewish people, and I, Hashem, will in turn bless them. Now, I'd like to focus on the two psukim, the two outstanding verses that really sandwich the entire mitzvah. Kol tevarechu et bnei Yisrael amor lehem. The emphasis is placed upon the Kohanim to bless Bnei Yisrael through speech. And then the pasuk that ensues following the specific brachot, V'samu et shmi al Bnei Yisrael v'ani avarechem, place my name on the Jewish people and I will bless them. And these words of the Torah in of themselves are very difficult to understand. Clearly the emphasis is on tevarechu. There must be the sense of barecha. But what exactly does it mean, v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael? Place my name upon the Jewish people. How exactly is a person or the Kohanim meant to fulfill such a directive? How does one place God's name on the Jewish people? And if indeed it is not meant to place literally, but rather through a barakha, through limud Torah, then why does the Torah feel inclined to use that particular lashon, that vernacular of v'samu et shmi, to place my name? Not only that, v'ani avarachem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will then bless them. There seems to be a relationship between the bracha of the Kohanim and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. What is the intrinsic message that exists between the Kohanim blessing through Hashem and ultimately as a result of that blessing deriving the benefits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing in of itself? But even more difficult is the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says a very strange thing. In on Daf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Sota, which by the way, this week's Parsha also introduces to us the Parsha of Sota, the Gemara says as follows: Shalu Talmidav et Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. The students of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua asked him, Bameh Erachta Yamim. Why were you zoche, why were you privy to living such longevity, to having a long life? Amar lahen, he said to them, the following three components. Miyamai lo asiti beit kneset kapandria. I never used the shul as a shortcut, which we discussed in a past sleepless sermon. No doubt all of you remember that. Lo nasati kapai belo bracha. Lo pasati al roshai, roshai am kodesh. I didn't pass through or walk through a Beit Midrash when there were many people involved in learning. ולא נשאתי כפיי בלא ברכה. And I never spread my hands without offering a bracha. In other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was a Kohen, and he says, I never spread my hands in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, of blessing the Jewish people, without preempting that mitzvah with a bracha itself. Says the Gemara, my mevorich, what bracha did he say? Asher kiddushanu b'kdushato shel Aaron v'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael b'ahava, the exact bracha that the Kohanim use to this very day. But the question, my friends, is rather obvious. Here Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua expresses longevity, how he was zoche to receive arichut yamim, to live a long life. Why? Because he never blessed the Jewish people without preempting that blessing with a bracha on the mitzvah in which he was about to embark. What is so altruistic about what Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua did? So what? So he made a bracha on the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, on the mitzvah of blessing the Jewish people. Is that so outstanding? Is that such a fantastic feat that it deserves a long life? And not only that, we can think of many other fantastical recipes or ingredients for a successful life to receive longevity. Far greater mitzvot, far greater fulfillments of servitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are privileged, or should be privileged to have long life, than this ingredient of success that Rabbi Elazar expresses in having said a bracha, a blessing, prior to fulfilling the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim. What is going on here? To begin to understand both the Torah's message of the Brachat HaKohanim and Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's message in the Gemara, I have to share with you a few scenarios. I had a very few eventful few weeks over the past few weeks. I have to share with you some of the stories that really struck me, not only as strange, but certainly delivered to me a very personal message. I was involved a few weeks ago, or about a week ago, I was involved in helping the Yeshivat Hesder in Sderot, where I teach, to help them prepare for the dinner coming up this Wednesday night, June 4th. And I made a few phone calls, and some of the phone calls that I made asking people for contributions, asking people to come to the dinner, some of the phone calls that I made happened to be people who I do not know, and they certainly do not know me. Although I was quite surprised, being the famous person that I am. But having said that, I made a phone call to a family in the evening. Child answers the phone, he must have been an adolescent. And I said, good evening, is your daddy home? He says, I don't know, let me see. I hear him over the phone, he's covering it over a little bit. He says, Dad, are you home? The father says, who is it? Son says to me, who is it? I say, it's Rabbi Hammer. He says, it's Rabbi Hammer. Father says, what does he want? He says to me, what do I want? I said to him, I'm from the Yeshivat Hesder of Sderot. Tells his father he's from the Yeshivat Hesder of Sderot. The father says, I'm not interested. Child gets back on the phone. He says to me, he's not interested. So I said to the child, I was quite in a state of disarray. I said, I don't understand. Your father's not interested in helping the Jewish people in the land of Israel? So the son was a little taken aback at my response. He said to me, I don't know, I guess not. I said to him, are you interested in helping the Jewish people in the land of Israel? He says, yes, I guess I really am. And that was the end of the conversation. Now I am completely aware and sensitive to the fact that these people get phone calls right, left, and center from all types of organizations and all causes, all of them extremely worthy causes. And there's not a moment that goes by that they're not being asked to donate and to contribute. And it's a very difficult situation and very difficult to live under such circumstances. And I understand that. But I tell you this story not because of the lack of awareness or response that I received on the phone, but the impression that it had on me. When we ask ourselves, are we interested in helping the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael? That is a question that strikes the very core of Jewish existence. That is a question that strikes the very assurance of Jewish survival. It is a question that we have to consistently ask ourselves, that the Torah expects us to ask ourselves on a daily basis in order to demonstrate our subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are we interested in the Jewish people? Are we interested in the plight that exists in Eretz Yisrael? And I believe that that is precisely the message of the Gemara in Sotah of Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. The Turei Oven, one of the Acharonim on the Gemara, explains that Gufa the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, of Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, of proclaiming and reciting these psukim, is exactly that. It is a bracha. The mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim is a blessing in itself. And therefore, says the Turei Oven, it was not necessary for Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua to introduce a blessing of the Kohanim with another blessing. And nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar felt compelled to add a bracha to the core of this mitzvah itself. What does that demonstrate, my friends? It demonstrates an excitement of Rabbi Elazar. It demonstrates his earnestness that he was granted an opportunity to bless Bnei Yisrael. How happy he was. What an opportunity he saw it as, that he wanted to seize that mitzvah. And even though the mitzvah itself is a blessing, he makes another bracha on being given that opportunity to fulfill and to offer a bracha to Am Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. He feels privileged as the deliverer of a bracha, which is ultimately bestowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt privileged to serve as a shaliach, as the messenger of Hashem, to ensure the perpetuation, the future, and the posterity of Am Yisrael. This Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua in the Gemara represents a desire in being interested in helping Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. But this concept goes even further, because conceptually, the entire idea of the Birkat Kohanim is built on what we call a shutafut, a wholesome partnership. The Akedat Yitzchak explains, what does it mean, V'samu et shmi al Bnei Yisrael? The question on the pasuk with which we begun. What does it mean to place God's name on the Jewish people? Says the Akedat Yitzchak, I quote you, Kedei shetachul al ha'adam birkat Hashem, in order for the blessing of Hashem kiviyochol to fall or to bestow itself upon a person, alav lahachin atzmo lezeh. That person has to feel compelled to prepare himself in order to accept the bracha. In other words, says the Akedat Yitzchak, Misamu et shmi. When I place something on someone, that someone is outstretching his hands as a receptacle in order to receive that which I am giving him. Not only are the Kohanim eager to deliver the bracha, but Am Yisrael must demonstrate that they too are eager to be the recipients of the bracha. They are clay hamikabel. They are utensils that are prepared to accept the bracha. And only then does the essence of the blessing kick in. When there is this partnership, essentially the entire Birkat Kohanim represents a successful Jewish venture, a viable partnership, both between the Kohanim representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excited to give the blessing, and of Am Yisrael, eager to accept not only the blessing, but the responsibility of a spiritual existence. And this helps explain an additional halachic insight into this particular mitzvah. The Beit HaLevi explains that conceptually, in mitzvot we have an idea called Shomea Keoneh, which means that I can fulfill a mitzvah by simply listening to someone else doing the mitzvah and saying Amen. And even though I am, so to speak, a silent bystander, nonetheless, my having been there and listening absolves me from fulfilling the mitzvah. And I have indeed fulfilled the mitzvah in lieu of someone else, or through someone else doing the mitzvah actively. Says the Beis HaLevi, the concept of Shomea Keoneh, of listening, and that's as if you have performed, does not pertain to the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim. A Kohen cannot stand next to another Kohen, listen to his making the bracha, and simply say, now I have fulfilled the mitzvah as well of blessing Am Yisrael. Why? Because gufa the mitzvah, the essential mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, is to be mashmia kol, is to proclaim, is to pronounce, is to articulate and express the words of the bracha, the blessing that the Kohen is excited to give Am Yisrael through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, it is impossible for a Kohen to fulfill this mitzvah by simply listening to another Kohen and not actively participating in the mitzvah of the kol, of expression. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal elaborated on the Beit HaLevi, and he says that Shomea Keoneh, the concept of listening and therefore fulfilling, works only when the kol, when the voice of a mitzvah is an aspect of the mitzvah, but not when it is the essential or the essence of the mitzvah itself. By Birkat Kohanim, by the blessing of the Kohanim, the kol, the concept of a voice, is the entire kol mitzvah, the entire voice of the mitzvah, allows there to form a partnership between the mevarech and the mevorach, between that person who is blessing and the person who is being blessed. There is a connection that has to exist between the two. And therefore, the kol, the articulating, the expression of the bracha, of the Birkat Kohanim, is an absolute vital part to the formula of success, of forging this partnership, this love, this union between the Mevarech, he who blesses, and the Mevorach, he who is blessed, as representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessing, and Am Yisrael receiving that blessing with greatest subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Yesterday I had an unbelievable experience of Yom Yerushalayim. I took my children into Yerushalayim, and I happened to be standing with a friend of mine from the United States, and I took him, it was the first time he ever saw this. You walk into the heart of Rehov Yafo, the main thoroughfare that finds itself situated in the core, in the heart of Yerushalayim itself. And either way you look, all the way up Rehov Yafo, or all the way down to the Old City, multitudes of people, a sea of noar, of youth, of young religious Zionists who blanket the entire street. There is not one place to move. You cannot budge because it is so packed. And my friend looked at this, and he said, based on this spectacle, he looked at me and he stated, he said, this demonstrates that there is hope. To see a noar, to see the youth, the teenagers, demonstrating in the street, in love with Yerushalayim, imbued with a sense of responsibility to carry the flag of the future, is demonstrative of a statement. we are interested in connecting with Am Yisrael and in preserving Eretz Yisrael. We are interested in being mevorach, in being blessed by the Kohanim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the highlight of the entire day was at the end of the day, as is customary with the hammer vehicles, our car broke down. And it wasn't an easy situation. It was late at night, 11 at night, 12 at night. And we're trying to figure out, do we get the car towed? So finally we send some of our children home on the bus. But I was still there with my wife and two of our other kids. At which point my wife said, she'll wait with one of my sons, wait for the tow truck to come, and I should go take the younger daughter home. So I'm walking with my younger daughter. We take a cab to the Tacharem Merkazit, to the central bus station, only to find that the central bus station is closed. There are no buses back from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh. It's too late at night, and we're trapped, so to speak, in a matter of words. And my daughter looks to me, and she, with a completely distrusting face on her face, she says to me, "You know, Abba, what are we going to do?" And I, trying to demonstrate a certain amount of confidence, as if I had a plan, said, "Don't worry, I know what I'm doing," knowing deep down that I had absolutely no clue what I was going to do at this point. So I took her down the road, and there's a trampiada, a place where people normally tramp. They hitchhike from that area back to Beit Shemesh. And as I'm walking down, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't know if this is going to happen, but I do have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something will work out. As I get to a gas station right before the trampiada, a fellow pulls in his car, his window's open, he's a young man, and I said to him, "You know, by any chance, are you going to Beit Shemesh?" He said, "Yes, I am going to Beit Shemesh, please join me." And I said, "This is Mamish Hatzalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu." We get in the car, and not only that, we start talking. Not only is he going to Beit Shemesh, but he happens to live in the Shechuna, in the same community that I do. But he lives above us. He lives in a project, which is not the greatest part of Beit Shemesh. It's quite a difficult part. It's stricken with poverty. It's quite a destitute area. And he starts schmoozing with me. And he said to me, "You know, I am so happy that you came in my car. It's so late at night. I was worried about driving home by myself that I'd fall asleep behind the wheel. But now I have someone to talk to." And I said to him, "I am so happy to be able to talk to you because you have saved me and my daughter to get back to Beit Shemesh when we had no clue how we would possibly get home." As we started talking, he explained to me that he himself is a Baal Tshuva. And he hasn't completed the entire circle. A very nice young man. He works bekeva. He works for the army. He's 23 years old. He got very interested in religiosity. Wants to be linked with his tradition. But he hasn't taken the full circle. There are still many questions, issues that he wants to understand. And then he says to me, "I'm also interested in learning more English, but I find it very difficult to penetrate into your community," meaning my community, "which is largely your 85%. English speaking." And then he says to me, "What do you do?" So I told him, "Well, I want you to know, I myself, I am a rabbi, I'm a rav in one of the yeshivot." He says to me, "Well, that's very interesting." I said, "You know what, my friend? Feel free to come over to my house anytime. You can come over and learn English." He said, "You know what, I'd like to come over and learn English, but it's something even more important. There are so many questions that I have on Yiddishkeit, on Judaism, that I do not understand. Would you mind if I come by to your house, even on Shabbat, just to sit and talk over pieces of Torah, questions in Halakha, things that I do not necessarily comprehend with regards to God's existence?" I said, "Bisimcha Rabbah." The entire challenge that we had to deal with regards to our car. If our car broke down and it cost us a fortune to fix, if just for the sake of going through the whole Yom Yerushalayim, the Achdut, the unity that we saw in Yerushalayim, for the sake of reaching the pinnacle of the entire day, meeting a fellow Jew, a Yid who lives in my community, who now has the opportunity to visit with me, to learn with me, to share his thoughts, Dayenu. It was all worth it. But I was convinced the message of this week's parsha, to ensure the continuity of Bnei Israel, to end Yom Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim abnuya ke'ir shechubra la yachdav. Yerushalayim represents the characteristic of achdut yachdav, one unity, being bound with one purpose, fulfilling one directive, arriving at one ultimate goal. I realized that the entire idea, the concept of our survival in Yerushalayim, where the Kohanim would stand in the heart of the Mikdash and say, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem pana ve'lecha v'chuneka, Yisa Hashem pana ve'lecha v'yaseim lecha shalom, where they would serve as the conduits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give blessing to Am Yisrael, and where Am Yisrael would in turn say, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, give us the blessing, we are interested. Halavai aleinu, all of us should aspire to fulfilling this wondrous partnership whereby we not only express our interest in blessing, but all of Am Yisrael, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, sit at the table to explore our Judaism, ask the questions that allow us to perpetuate our future, and ultimately say that we too want to be part of this great partnership. Alav la'achin atzmo lazeh, where we are receptacles, prepared to accept the blessing, because we are willing to make the statement that we are interested in Am Yisrael and in Eretz Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom.